you have fun yesterday in the nice weather? Yeah, me too. Why do you think God cares so much about us? Eliana. Because he loves us. Isn't that the coolest thing? Yeah, we make mistakes, don't we? We goof up sometimes. Sometimes we hurt others. We say something we shouldn't or do something we shouldn't. We're not very lovable at times, are we? But God, he loves us. Jesus loves us. We're God's creation. Today's message is really a good message on just declaring that Jesus was important to God. But then again, Jesus is very important for us. I've got something to show you here. Jesus and God loved Jesus so much, and he gave him to us. And it was like this. This is a little Christmas ornament that I made when I was in third grade. And my mama saved it because it was special to her. Just loved it. And I don't know if we did it in Scouts or what, but it's just basically some embroidery with a sticker and a lid, mason jar lid. But that meant so much to my mom that she saved it for me. And now I have it, and I'll pass it on to Rachel or Nick or one of my kids. Well, that's something that we need to appreciate, is God's love for us. That he loves us so much that he gave his son Jesus to die for us. And in Jesus' glory, he rose to heaven. And when we're not kind and when we mess up, that's why we have a Savior, because he saves us. Can you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Even when we're not at our best, you can make us whole with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Today's reading is from Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, who he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God, let us say. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going to do something a little different before the sermon. We're going to confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed this summer. So, we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That phrase, it's easy to just go right past it in the Creed. But in the Creed, when it's talking about Jesus, the one time it uses a present vowel tense is when it says, he ascended into heaven, so that's in the past, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. That means right now, in eternity, in heaven, in the unseen realm, Jesus sits right now at the right hand of God, the Father. That is what Jesus is doing right now. And this summer, I want to take more than just today to focus and behold Jesus in his ascended glory in the present right now. But I want to spend all summer exploring the ramifications of Jesus' ascension for our lives today, here and now. Because that is Jesus' heavenly ministry for us, interceding for us, reigning as the ascended King and Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is the ascended Lord of heaven and earth. That's the good news I'm here to share with you today. And I love it when Paul talks about the ascension and the present ramifications of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven in glory. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Remember what we heard last week? The secret of the gospel is this: it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. See, right now, even if we can't see it or sense it with our five senses, in the unseen realm, in heaven, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, if you are a disciple of Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, the Spirit of Christ in you, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe with your all being that God raised him from the dead, not just from the grave, but raised him from the dead, that he is seated in heaven right now, you are being saved. You will be saved. Because in the Spirit, your spirit is seated with Jesus in heaven, with him. Because he represents us. He is God, the Word made flesh for us. The Son of Man, the perfect human being for us, who was revealed to be God. You have someone in Jesus who is in heaven right now, who represents you. He takes up all of our spiritual DNA up with him. And so even when our lives seem dark, or it seems like the world's getting worse and worse, or we don't know what's going to happen next, these are all temporal concerns. And this world is eventually going to pass away. Even the heavens are going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But the throne of God in heaven will remain. The one thing that will remain is Jesus, the Word made flesh for us. Jesus is eternal. And so if God's Word says that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, that is our eternal destiny. That is the ultimate reality. That, brothers and sisters, if you are in Christ, you are safe in him for eternity. And that you are with him now, even if you can't realize it or sense it or experience it. That is the truth beyond this world of material things. That is our destiny. And it's already happening right now. That in the Holy Spirit, we are with Christ. We are safe in him. That the devil cannot do anything to harm us in an eternal way if we are faithful in Christ, because we are safe in him. I love it the way that Paul says in Ephesians. He says this in Ephesians 2. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead for our trespasses or our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For we are saved by grace through faith. Amen. It's not through our works, but it's the gift of God, so that none may boast, for we are what He has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works here on earth, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So let's turn to Hebrews, because this summer we're just going to go through Hebrews, because Hebrews is the ultimate revelation of Jesus as being revealed to be God, that the Son of God is God for us. So long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. That is, God spoke to us through His Word in the Old Testament. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, by the Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds. Now, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, he says this. He says, "In Him," that is in Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ." Now, here it is, verse 10, Ephesians 1:10. "As a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth." So here it is. He said this in Hebrews 1. Let's say this again together. Verse 1. "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also created the worlds." Let's keep going. "He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And He sustains all things by His powerful word." In my study this week, in the past couple weeks, I've been looking back, and I was looking back at the Hebrew and reading some commentary about Genesis 1 and seeing, okay, John says in John's gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. It says that Jesus was part of creation. And apparently in the Hebrew there are some rabbis, some messianic rabbis. That is, rabbis who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, who've gone back and looked at the Hebrew in the text. And in that first verse in the Hebrew, in Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," the first word in Hebrew for God that's translated Elohim in the singular, there's a word before it comes to the next word that's translated in English for us. But there's a word, there's two letters in Hebrew that aren't translated to English that are attached to Elohim, that word for God. And it's Aleph Tav, which are the first and the last letters in the Hebrew alphabet. For us, we might recognize in the New Testament Revelation where Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," right? The beginning and the end, the first and the last. And there's even a prophecy about the Messiah that says that in Isaiah 44 that says, "Behold, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Well, if that word there, they looked at that Aleph Tav, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And some rabbis even believe that there's a deeper meaning behind each letter in the Hebrew, has like a symbol or a sign. And Aleph means strength in that deeper meaning for these rabbis that study the text this way. And Tav means bond or covenant. So they would see that Aleph Tav, and they would see strength and covenant. That the name for God that is revealed at the beginning is God, and the God that is the strength of the covenant. Well, the strength of the covenant is the Aleph Tav, the beginning and the end. And we know that Jesus is the beginning and the end, amen? The first and the last. So right there, these messianic rabbis can see in the text that God revealed that Jesus was there at the beginning. When I saw that, that blew my mind. I'd never heard that before. And I'd have to do more research. It might be more of a fringe belief. But when I saw that, I was like, Lord, I believe that's true. Because that's amazing. Right there in the text, hidden between two words, was right there that Jesus is there. And it's interesting because in that story, when the serpent tempts Eve and said, did God really say? The word that he uses for God is different from Elohim with the Aleph Tav at the end. So he says a name for God that's not the name that's revealed at the beginning to those who have been given the truth in God's word. So he created through whom he also created the world. So Jesus, God spoke to us through the prophets by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, things in heaven and things on earth, through whom he also created the worlds. And it says he's the reflection or the radiance of God's glory. That's like one of the big main ideas of Hebrews, that Jesus is the radiance or the reflection of God's glory. Not just the radiance, but he is the exact imprint of God's very nature. And so an imprint in those days, how many of you have seen like Game of Thrones or a movie about like, you know, there's castles and kings and kingdoms. When the king authorizes something, right? They take hot wax, and he takes his signet ring, his seal, and he puts it in the wax to seal that document, right? That's what the author of Hebrews is saying, that Jesus is the exact imprint, that seal of God's royal signet ring as our King of Kings, of the covenant, of his law, that Jesus is the final word. That Jesus is his authority. That Jesus is the strength of God's promises or of his covenant. And therefore, God sustains all things by his powerful word in Christ. Jesus told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? That no one comes to the Father except through him. And we can come to the Father through him because he is ascended. He is seated with the Father at his right hand in heaven. And we are taken up in him in our spirits because of the Holy Spirit. I know that's a lot to take in, but isn't that good news? That no matter what happens in your life right now, you are with Jesus in heaven. You are safe. Your life is hidden in Christ. That means no matter what this world throws at you, it can't take away your salvation in Jesus if you have faith. Amen? Amen. And so then it says this. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he atoned for our sins on earth. But when he ascended into heaven, we're going to find out in the book of Hebrews that he cleansed the entire heavenly tabernacle because there was sin that had taken place in heaven where the devil, when he was an angel named Lucifer, who was God's right-hand cherubim or his chief administrator or the leader of all his worship, right by his throne, wanted to be like God and wanted to ascend on high in his own power. And so God cast him out and he took a whole coup where the devil took all these other fallen angels with him. And so they had besmirched or they had soiled the heavenly tabernacle because of the ambition, that sin, that selfishness, that wanting to be like God in his own power. That's the root of evil, is the self-will. To choose your will over God's will, or to choose yourself over someone else to where you objectify them. That's what sin is when we lose sight of God and we lose sight of other people and we only think about ourselves and we objectify others. And so now Jesus, while he made atonement for us on the cross on earth, now he comes with his nail-scarred hands and feet, bearing those radiant scars. And his perfect blood atones and cleanses the entire heavenly tabernacle. Because he takes up all things in earth and in heaven in him. That's why he had to ascend for us, not just to be on earth, to be our Savior, but to be our cosmic King and Lord of Lords and our great High Priest. That's what we're going to find out in Hebrews. He makes all things new, things in heaven and things on earth. And that's why he can sit at the majesty on high, at the right hand. And so look to the next verse. Joe, you want to put up Hebrews 5? Here's some prophecies that the author of Hebrews, because he's writing to an unidentified group of Jewish Christians who are facing persecution. He says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of all the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. But of the son, he says this, let's say this together. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And then, let's say this. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. Like a cloak, you will roll them up. And like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same. And your years will never end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? And then he says this, are not all angels spirits in the divine service sent to serve for the sake of those, that is us, who are to inherit salvation? So the angels serve God, but they also serve God's children in Christ. So don't forget that. Don't forget that no matter what this world throws at you, Jesus is the ascended Lord of heaven and earth. He's going to take up all things in himself. All things created. And he is going to make us new. But right now in eternity, we might not realize it or see it or sense it, but we can see it through the eyes of faith. That faith, we see by faith and not by sight. That we are seated right now in eternity. That the ultimate reality is that we in our spirits are seated with Jesus in heaven. If you have faith in him. So that means that no matter what happens in your life, as long as you have faith in Jesus, that you are seated with him and safe with him. That you have a hiding place in him. That you can die to sin and be raised to life in Christ.